Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zachar Skadding coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is another blessed day to be here as God shelters us in the banner of love. And I'll get to that in a second. But first, let's check our emotions at the door to remind ourselves that we have souls to save and that we need to show the love of Christ in our everyday lives wherever we go, as we stand as an example for the kingdom of God. And today, our scripture passage that we want to focus on is in Song of Solomon, chapter 6. And I'm going to highlight verse 10, but first I just want to start in verse 9. Obviously a love letter here from the Lord, and I don't want to get into too much of that aspect. If you want to spend some time and see how the Lord loves us, please feel free to do so. But in verse 9, I want to start as the Lord, through Song Solomon here in his song of love, he says, "But my dove, my perfect one, is unique. She is her mother's only daughter. She is a pure child of the one who bore her. The maiden saw her and called her blessed. The queens of the concubines also, they praised her, saying, 'Who is this that grows like the dawn, as beautiful as the full moon?'" And the dawn would be the morning, which kind of ties into our reordering the day here, and that Chuck is pointing out here. He says, "As pure as the sun, as awesome as an army with banners." And today we wanted to ask of the Lord to cover us with his banner of love, because his banner over us is love. In this dark season, and even for Ukraine, that God would shelter them and protect them in this dark season, which is a great segue into the first story of, even in all this chaos, God is providing a miracle after miracle for the people there, and protecting them in their fight for the destiny of their nation. To be a springboard of the gospel within Eastern Europe. And the story comes out of Mariupol, where if you saw yesterday, this picture made the rounds of a theater in Mariupol where people were using it as a refugee center shelter. And on the sides in the grass or the parking lot, they put in Ukrainian Russian that is children, saying, "Hey, there are children here, don't bomb," whatever. Well, they ended up going ahead and bombing anyways, the Russians did, and being claimed as, it's a miracle that as of right now, there haven't been reported any deaths. This is from the Washington Examiner. The Epoch Times is saying no deaths reported as of yet. There were some people injured, but there were upwards of 1,000 to 1,500 people who were sheltering in the theater. But with the airstrike, they were all in the basement, so they were protected, and they're coming out now. So even in all this chaos, God is still sheltering and protecting those innocent people. And there are some innocent people who are not surviving, and we mourn their loss. But even in this, the Lord is sheltering them. And so with all this chaos that's going on, this is God's beauty and God's love. And as we pray and ask for that, for ourselves, pray that for our believers around the world, not only in Ukraine, but in Russia, China, elsewhere, as we stand for God's kingdom and praying for the Office of the President. Okay, so we're seeing these miracles happen. But now there's a communication between Ukraine and Russia, and real defining of what Russia is saying they want. And we want to pray, and I want to update the situation to understand how to pray for this administration, because there's a lot of conflicting stories. It's hard, especially during a time of war, what's true, what's not. And I want to talk a little bit about what President Zelensky said before Congress yesterday, because a lot of it was a emotional tug to ask for everything, because there's a line in the sand that he sees, and there has been, whether intentional or unintentional, some wisdom coming from the administration. Now, Proverbs talks about when a fool keeps quiet, it makes him look wise. Could be that, but right now God is allowing the administration's befuddlement to be a positive in this statement. There's some things that this administration have done that have actually been somewhat positive, and some stances they've taken that are preventing us from going into World War III, which is something that the enemy is trying, even through Vladimir Zelensky, is trying to pull the world into this world war. Somebody put in here, Chuck Pierce said, send an epic angel to Ukraine. Yes, that's true. God is doing that with Ukraine, even before this. This goes back to 2013, 2014. But some updates out of Ukraine, and this needs to be talked about more, because this deals with the state of the Russian forces there. Rumors, and you know, there's evidence, receipts, as the kids say today, that Ukraine has wiped out its fourth Russian general and second Russian general in attacks on Mariupol. And this was confirmed after this weird video from the New York Post, that by a photo posted online showing the body. And so rumors, again, this is during wartime, so we want to be cautious about what we're hearing and seeing, and really try to discern what's coming out. Rumors that the Russian forces are being decimated morale-wise, involved in this, because you're losing generals, leaders who are coming in on this attack, who, you know, we're telling you we're going to do this, et cetera. That's demoralizing for the soldiers who are under them. Now, who do you look to? Who do you look to lead? And so, if true, this is a positive for Ukraine, a negative for Russia. And so we're seeing things start to play out as God continues to shelter and protect them, even in this war. But we get to President Zelensky's talk before Congress yesterday. And there's some things that, you know, we want to pray for our leaders to have wisdom, because President Zelensky is asking basically – and he stated it yesterday. He says, we may have already started World War III. Let's pump the brakes. I want to pump the brakes on that a little bit. And there are those Republican and Democrat alike who are saying, hey, hold on. And there are Republican and Democrats alike who are saying, we need to give them everything they need, if they need troops, if they need it. And there's a pump and brake on that. And actually, the White House has come out and said, look, we're not interested in getting into World War III. That is a positive. Look, even a broken clock can be right twice a day. So that's a good thing. Zelensky was also asking for a no-fly zone. And look, ask and you shall receive. He is – let's think about him. He is in the desperate position of fighting and trying to protect his people and his nation. And so he's going to ask for everything, because he needs help. He needs resources. And So I don't fault him for saying that. It was very emotional. He's been doing this with other countries. When he went before the UK Parliament, he used Churchill. When he went before Canada, he tried to be personable and say Justin to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Before our Congress, he used Martin Luther King, Pearl Harbor, 9/11. Like, he is trying to pull on the emotions of people. And there's the comment of, well, he's a globalist. He wants to drag us. Okay, look. He's trying to fight for his country. That may be true, but let's focus on what we can focus on and where our spiritual authority is in praying for our nation and our leaders to make the right decision that the Lord tells us to do. What is the Lord saying for our nation? And what is the Lord saying for Ukraine? There's prophetic that we have that tells Ukraine from 2014, 2013, that Ukraine was going to have to fight for its sovereignty if it wanted to be a nation. And they're in that battle right now. So that's what prophetic is out there. And there's warnings of us picking sides and getting involved. And so our leaders are making the proper decision as of now. Let's pray that they continue to hold on to that. And then you have, and this is helpful to Ukraine, Biden, while there are problems with the fact that he's doing this and not protecting our own borders and our own sovereignty. He sent another $800 million immediately to Ukraine with a combination of systems, 9,000 anti-armor systems to help destroy Russian tanks and armored vehicles, 7,000 armor, small arms such as machine guns and shotguns, and a total of 20 million rounds that includes artillery and mortar. Also provides 800 anti-aircraft systems to combat Russian planes. So rather than a no-fly zone, we're sending weapons for them to use to fight in their own battle. And then this is a positive because this is a decisions. This combats decisions that Ukrainians and really even the U.S. and other nations forced Ukraine to get into in order to try to get them to go into NATO and the EU. And I think there's something that needs to be said is this is a pivotal point within the negotiations with Russia. There's an article that came out from the Financial Times that Ukraine is saying is more pro-Russian, but there are things that are in here that I think kind of pinpoint what decisions Ukraine needs to be making. I'll put the link in the comment sections below if you want to go ahead and read it. But one thing that is interesting about this is Ukraine is very middle line on the ceasefire negotiations with Russia because Russia is agreeing to a lot of things and then going back and openly communicating with the press, even though they said they wouldn't, to Ukraine's face. And then also they're continuing to attack Ukraine. So if they were really serious about this, they would pull back. And I do want to point this out is Jake Sullivan had a conversation with his Russian counterpart the other day, and this came out of a statement from it. It's kind of small, so I want to read it. Supposedly, Jake Sullivan told General Petrushev that if Russia is serious about diplomacy, then Moscow should stop attacking Ukraine cities and towns. Mr. Sullivan warned General Petrushev about the consequences of implications of any possible Russian decisions to use chemical or biological weapons. So this is a proper decision from this administration. They may be chaotic. They maybe may have made bad decisions in the past. Hopefully they learn from them so that now they can make proper decisions and listen to the Lord, even though there are times they do things that are completely out of the will of God. But to go back to my point on Ukraine, is they're in a position to really – they hold the keys. The prophetic is they have to make their decisions, and Russia doesn't want them to get into NATO and the EU, and that's probably the right decision. Because let's look at how NATO and the EU are treating Ukraine right now. Is they've promised to help defend Ukraine, and yet here's not the first attack on Ukraine from Russia that NATO and Ukraine have, and NATO and the EU haven't really done anything. You're seeing the EU economically climb in its debt and take on countries like Greece who have mountains and mountains of debt. Should Ukraine be a part of that? They need to listen to, just like we need to for our nation, listen to the wisdom of the Lord for them. And when they were giving up their weapons, their own security for themselves, and trusting on NATO and the EU to come to their defense, and they're not, God could be allowing all this to happen so that they could get these weapons back like they're doing right now. Understand that they have to stop allowing other forces and natures and countries to influence them to do what they want. They need to be able to make decisions for themselves. And even what, you know, Russia wants may not be a bad thing, because the neutrality is look at Israel right now, is okay. Israel can only have so many ties, but yet can't have troops in its nation from other nations. Now, there's the UN there who are supposed to be peacekeeping forces, which is an utter and complete joke in Israel. But my point is that Israel took the defense of, look, nobody's coming, because it could potentially start a world war if the U.S. were to put troops on the ground and help Israel or whatever. They get. Is Ukraine's in a position, and God's put them in this position, to fight for their own nation. And that's the prophetic that's out there. And while we want to pray for wisdom for our leaders, we also want to pray against a world war, not only in Ukraine and elsewhere, and ultimately pray for a resolve for the Ukrainian people to, as the President Zelensky is continuing to seek other nations for help. That's not necessarily a bad decision. Be more like a Switzerland, Austria, who are independent and neutral, but rely heavily upon the West, because while Ukraine is going more diplomatic, they're also entertaining the same woke and anti-Christ agenda spirits, LGBTQ type stuff, into their country. And so this is going to be awakening as the country cries out for God to repent and turn from its wicked ways and turn towards the heart of the Father. And so we want to lay that out there of, look, while this is not on the heart of the Father for death and destruction to happen, God could be using this plan of the enemy, what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good, to get Ukraine to turn towards the heart of the Father, to listen for what their destiny of their nation is, as well as we have to do that as well. That's why we want to pray for our leaders. So there's some positives, whether it's intentional or unintentional, yet to be seen. God's allowing it to happen, and God is working his spirit through it all, his wisdom, his omnipresence through it all. And so we're seeing this play out. Now, we want to, again, continue to cover Biden, because it's been put out there that he will fly to Brussels and European Union on a summit for Russia and Ukraine as, quote unquote, the war worsens. While at the same time, there's more and more growing talk of a peace or a ceasefire agreement coming with Russia and Ukraine. Whether that's legitimate or not, as I said before, is still up in the air, because it's hard to really trust Russia right now. But we do want to, during this travel, want to pray and intercede for a blanket of protection for President Biden during his motions of dementia, as he continues to have them. They're more prevalent every day as he spends more time in front of the camera, and you're seeing it more often. And the question is what happens behind closed door for those people who have been around him for the past year and a half, who've seen this, and we know that they're taking advantage of it through some dreams that we've had. So we want to pray for that protection for the president as he travels in the coming days. And that could possibly not happen. There's the White House Press Secretary, Jen Psaki, has said this may or may not happen. So it's still up in the air. And if he does, we want to pray for his protection, because we do not want to see anything happen to him. Now, is it wrong his family lets him do that? Yes. Another thing that's coming out now is that there is a Russian parliamentary member, Oleg Medvedev, who has come out and called for the return of all Russian properties, those of the Russian Empire, the Soviet Union, and current Russia, which has been seized by the United States, and so on, meaning parts of Antarctica and Alaska. Want to point this out there. This is a pro-Kremlin Russian parliamentary member, and this speaks to the spirit motivating Putin and those who are allied with Putin to want to take back their former countries and not allow Ukraine to be sovereign, not allow these other countries to be sovereign and listen to the Lord and fight for their own destiny. But a different response from a world leader and from the governor of Alaska. He says, good luck. He says, not if we have something to say about it. We have hundreds of thousands of armed Alaskans and military members that will see it differently. So good on Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy for being aware of this, putting out a proper statement of, yeah, good luck with that. And again, this is why the Second Amendment is so vital, as Russia and Alaska are very close, being that the fact that we bought Alaska from Russia. And so there is wisdom of why we need to continue to pray for everything that goes on as the increasing reach of Russia tries to gain back its old former Soviet blocs. And look, there were old rumors from quote unquote the neocons who said the same thing before about Putin. Just because they were early doesn't mean they're wrong. And you know, there's the idea of, well, Putin only attacked Ukraine to prevent them from joining NATO. While that's partially true, God can use that for his purpose of allowing Ukraine to be a sovereign nation and understand that it needs to fight for itself and not depend upon the West for that. There's also the fact that that could be a ploy. I mean, because you can't fully trust everything that's coming out of the Kremlin, and even if that's true. And yet there have been planes flying close to Alaska from Russia, just as there are planes flying close to Taiwan from China, which are very alarming. Why would you do that? You know, seeing the response there. So it's a warning of something we need to pay attention to. But the Lord has told the prophets that Putin wants this. Now, he may be patient and waiting. Might be finally forced to act because of what's ever going on inside of the Kremlin and inside of Russia. The spirit is very active right now of wanting to grab these countries back. And I think we, just because the media and politicians say, oh, no, that's not true, we have to listen to the heart of the Father on this. What is the Lord saying? The Lord's saying, yes, he does. Let's be patient and diligent and endure, understanding that sometimes the enemy is patient and diligent in their desires as well. And so that's kind of the situation with our leaders, Russia and Ukraine, and the importance of why we need to pray for that. And then something that is gone, something big that happened yesterday that got some attention and I think needs to get more of our attention, and something that will affect us, each and every one of us, whether we realize it or not, is the Fed has now talked about finally making its first interest rate hike after almost four years. And it's a decade too late, in my opinion. And so we're seeing that this announcement came out yesterday. Fed Chairman Powell talked about, I think this is a false flag, and it's very alarming, of saying the economy's strong, it's roaring back. And look, he says that because at the same time he's saying that, he is up to being reconfirmed for another term of Fed chairman. He said this yesterday, and then the Senate Banking Committee confirmed him and advanced him along with three other chairmen, which would give him another 4 years of leading the Fed. And when you're in these positions, this is your goal. You want to continue in it. They want to continue this fight. So he's been wrong every step of the way up until this point in his predictions. And he, there's a little bit of confirmation bias of him wanting to be put in, but this will have effects. And look, I point this out because they're talking about doing some things that are good. It might be too little too late at this point. Inflation's really out of control, especially with the oil and gas stuff. And if the Biden administration is going to push for that, it's going to drive that stuff, drive inflation even higher. But I say all this to say is with this stuff that's happening, Joe Manchin talked about it yesterday. We have to get our financial house in order. Jerome Powell would be better than anybody else Biden would put up. Is he the best? No. Is the Federal Reserve System the best? No. And I could spend days on that. But I want to point to two passages of scripture which will help us understand how what we're doing financially and economically is out of the will of God. In continuing to have this consumeristic mindset and just giving in to our desires and our greed and our wants and not having a patient understanding of our finances. This comes out of 2 Corinthians 12:14. And it says, children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. And right now, consumer debt is at its highest. Our nation is at $30 trillion in debt, and we do not have that mindset. We're literally, our financial system is operating in under a completely different mindset and understanding than what the Lord is telling us. And this is New Testament, right side of your Bible. Now, let me go back to the Old Testament and point out some wisdom from the Lord, not a law, but some wisdom from the Lord about how a nation can deal with some of the things that we're having right now. And in Deuteronomy 15:4-6, scripture says, however, there will be no poor among you, since the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. This is talking about the Israelites going into the promised land. If only, if, big key, Lord saying this can happen, but you have to decide. If only you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God, and you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. While we lend to nations, we also borrow, and we also print money. We're doing things that are out of the will of God, which, you know, we have, as Jesus said, the poor will be with you always. We have scenarios and decisions being made by politicians, which leads me to the point of what I talked about yesterday is through the Fed is trying to control the markets, lower inflation, increase in employment and investments. And this is really the raising the interest rate, which will do nothing right now, but of the long term, could have a more potential effect. So right now it's not going to do anything. It will affect investments and the potential for people wanting to take risks. And there's a whole debate about that, but the things they're doing are causing harm to our economy now and in the long term. So we want to pray for the leaders who are in office to arise and have the fear of the Lord and future leaders to rise as well and use wisdom and revelation on economic policy decisions. And we can't lose focus of this because what's happening in Ukraine, even with, you know, us sending upwards of $1 billion in the last 2 weeks, plus the 14 that was in the new budget and the $1.5 trillion budget that just got passed, all for sweeping and supposedly this, the only thing that mattered was helping Ukraine, which they could have done that elsewhere. So we can't lose sight of, okay, yes, this is happening. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. But at the end of the day, there are scarce resources in the world. Now, can God provide for all our needs? Yes. But we still have to make decisions. As Ecclesiastes showed us yesterday, is you don't know what's basically diversification. You don't know whether when you sow seed in the morning or the evening, which one's going to bring forth the fruit and multiplication that you need. So to diversify, 7, even divided them to 8. And then also to as Deuteronomy tells us, to listen to the Lord on where to sow our seeds. And in that, and before that, the Lord today can cover us in his banner of love to guide us and give us that favor that we need. And look, there, you know, Chuck Pierce says this. He says, you know, when he's in that Holy Spirit vein and he gets these prophecies, you know, some people say, oh wow, you're so awesome, you're so amazing. He says, look, it's not me, it's the Lord. And when I'm out of that place, I'm wrong. But when I'm in that place, is I'm just speaking what the Lord showed me, doing what the Lord's telling me to do, going where God's telling me to go, getting in that vein. And this is part of that. Is it the only way? No. But it's a part of getting in that vein of when I'm talking about reordering your day, of walking through that, of getting in the seasons and the watches with the Lord to understand what he's doing, what he's speaking during those watches, and what he wants us to do to take back the night, to take back those watches, so that we can hear from him and walk out in obedience what the Lord has called us to do for our families, for our neighborhoods, for our counties, parishes, city, state, nation as well. So with that, I close. And then today we have a conversation that me and John have had about differing worldviews in the Bible and how we can walk out a relationship with people who might have a different worldview. So we'll have that today during our noon prayer hour. And then tomorrow we'll come back online only. Today will be online only with another prayer for this nation and that of the office of the president. So I'll bless each and every one of you, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.